the New South Wales Country Hour with Michael Condon on ABC Radio New South Wales.
And a very good afternoon to all of our listeners out there in rural New South Wales. We are broadcasting from the Sydney Royal Easter Show. I'm joined here by Josh Becker, and look, it's another fabulous day here. Not as hot as yesterday, and it's a terrific spot where we are now too, with the sheep in front of us.
We've seen the working dog demonstration just behind us, and people have been flocking to the show to come and see it. And so we'll be bringing a focus on the sheep side of things today.
Absolutely, the sheep and wool side, wool auction. Also, the Supreme Champion Merino is due to be announced like any time soon, like right now. We don't know who the winner is yet. We're hoping to bring the details of that to our audience shortly here from the Sydney Royal Easter Show. But we are going to be talking about wool, because there's actually, for the first time in about 5 years, we've got a wool auction here on site. I was here in 2019 when we had the last one, and we're joined now by David Cotha from AWEX. Good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. Yes, pleasure to be here.
And a good showing for the auction so far?
A terrific turnout. We've been really pleased. We've had some great support from our brokers and our exporters yesterday and today. The offering's very healthy, 12,000 bales, 2,600 lots, and we're into day two. Transactions are going really well. Very happy.
And what's the idea of bringing the AWEX wool auction to the Sydney Royal Easter Show?
Well, we believe the important thing here is to show the general public what happens 46 weeks of the year, Josh, and having it here with some magnificent merinos here today and the shearing demonstration, it shows, you know, the exchange of ownership process and you know, next stop, China, India, Italy, you know, so this is really where the money, this is really where the money changes hands. And I think what people see, we've got some great display screens here, just seeing, you know, $9 million transacted yesterday, probably another $8 million today. I think people are just surprised just how much money exchanges hands. And this happens every week, three centres, Fremantle, Melbourne and Sydney.
And the other thing too is that it's also about showcasing the industry and the best of the best. When you have the best merinos, you have the champion merinos there in the same space, and you're seeing, you know, this is, you know, from farm to China to textiles
to the purchaser. Yes, exactly. And the exchange of ownership is really interesting. You know, I think we get good crowds watching. You know, people who are very good at what they do. Our exporters, you know, our auctioneers, they push it through at 250 to 300 lots an hour, and it's great theatre, and people really love watching it. Yeah.
What about the logistics of packing up and setting up a temporary space for a sale like this? And you know, when you're turning over such a big amount of money like that, $17 million, there are a lot of, you know, I imagine a lot of I's to dot and T's to cross.
Well, that's true, Josh. I mean, 10 years ago it would have been much, much harder, but with information technology now, we're a lot more portable with Wi-Fi, and RAS New South Wales has been very good in terms of secure Wi-Fi support for us and things that our buyers and brokers and our own needs for processing sales. RAS New South Wales has been really good with that. But yeah, look, buyers and brokers, we're apart from the I guess the venue, we can nearly walk in and walk out, which is just so much easier than it used to be.
And David, what about the market? Where are prices at this week?
Well, the context of this week is we have 47,000 bales offered nationally, Josh. It's a good size sale because we have a recess next week, and our normal Easter recess, and after that we come back to close to 50,000 bales. So the market, has been a little subdued, and
there's been some issues about China and their economy, I gather.
Yeah, look, I think there's been some concerns about that, but I think what's interesting is that by and large, growers are meeting the market. You know, there are strong pockets in there. It's not all doom and gloom by all means, and but growers are meeting the market. Yesterday was just over 3.5% past year, past in. Today, it's running at 2.5%. So,
yeah. To put that in perspective, I can remember days where we had pass-in rates of 20 and 30%.
Oh,
there's not a panic about it, but it's just a little bit subdued.
Yeah, and I think growers are meeting the market. I think brokers are talking growers through that process and making a decision about, sell now, move on, and obviously growers have other business things that they have to consider for their own businesses.
Yeah, and other commodities are doing okay, so maybe they're able to do that. It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
David, really appreciate this. I know you've got to head back and you're a busy man, and thanks for joining us on the Country Hour today.
Terrific. Thank you.
All the best with the rest of the sale. You're listening to the Country Hour. It's coming up to 10 minutes past 12.
Hi, my name's Joe Dorman. We've been exhibiting here at Sydney Royal Easter Show for 30-odd years. We show harness ponies and horses. You're listening to Country Hour.
Every player wins a prize. No losers here today. Join in the fun.
Now, talking about winning a prize, I gather that, Josh, you were talking to someone who is pretty happy, an Imitabel wool grower who was pretty happy with what was happening to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, breeding one merino, that's good enough to win a blue ribbon, that's one thing. But what about breeding five? Well, John Alcock from Greenland started Bungabi, about 70 k's south of Coomers, won the prestigious Stonehaven Cup, awarded for the best five merinos at the Sydney Royal Easter Show. And I caught up with him and he said it's been 20 years in the making.
It's been going very, very well, and we're here in the sheep shed at the moment, and it's pretty hard to grab a ribbon because the standard's so jolly high.
You not only were able to get a ribbon, but you've been awarded the Stonehaven Cup for this year, which is for the five best merinos. Is that right, John?
It is, Josh, and it was a great honour to win that. It's always one of the most prestigious awards at the show, and it's certainly a great honour and something that I've been striving to win for a long time, and it's finally happened. It's always hard to get five sheep together, it's three rams and two ewes, and usually end up with one that will let you down somewhere, so it's fantastic.
How many years have you been entering?
Oh, we would have been coming for about 20 years now, I'm not new at the game, but it's taken a long time to win it.
Yeah, how does it feel to be able to reach that milestone?
Oh, very, very good. And it's something that, because there's, a group of sheep and it's hard to get them together, that you've got the ewe base at home pretty right when you can, when you come up with those groups that do well. It's the ewe base at home is always the key to success.
Yeah, what are your breeding objectives and what was it about these five sheep that stood them above the rest that were here?
Oh, well, the judges' comments were when they finished that they were very, very structurally correct. They were extremely highly productive sheep, and they had extremely good quality wool. So with that combination, it's quite difficult to find.
When you think about the values that underpin your stud and the breeding direction you're focused on, what's your key point of difference?
Oh, Josh, it's I guess that our sheep are still reasonably traditional and still probably got more skin on them than most sheep, which makes them more productive. But there's no doubt the structural soundness is extremely important. And it doesn't matter what livestock you're breeding. I mean, it's the same in whether you're breeding cattle or meat sheep or merinos. It's extremely important to get those structures right and get good bone in your stock. And of course, with merinos, you've got the wool as well. So it's, quite often there's a lot of compromises in a lot of your goals when you're joining sheep, so sometimes you might have to give a little bit on one thing and to gain something else. So it's a balance there, certainly a sheep that you've got to get the right balance.
And what about the market at the moment for wool commodity prices? What's the sentiment amongst wool growers?
Oh, look, I guess that it's a bit disappointing with regard to the wool price, but the mutton price is even probably worse. If you look at the livestock industry, cattle are struggling a bit as well, and the fat lamb job But I guess the wool's holding its own, but you must really keep in the back of your mind, Josh, that you've got to keep production there. With the cost of everything today, it's all increasing, and particularly shearing costs. So you've really got to have productive sheep if you want to stay in front and, you know, be sustainable.
John, anything else that you wanted to add or anything else that's front of mind of winning the Stonehaven Cup here at the Sydney Royal Easter Show?
I don't think there's a great lot, Josh. It's always a great get-together, and, you know, a lot of the breeders we don't see, you know, within the year, and certainly the New England ones, it's always great to catch up with them and the people from over the... in the western areas, but it's just a great catch-up time, and you know, we're like one big family in the merino industry.
I imagine like any family with plenty of different opinions on who's right.
Well, that's right. There is all sorts, and I guess that's what makes the world tick, Josh, is that there's always different thoughts and different ways of doing things, and quite often you learn quite a bit from listening to some of those different thoughts.
That's John Alcock from Greenland, start at Bungabi near Cooma, and the winner of the Stonehaven Cup yesterday.
Just near Nimitabelle, which is a fantastic part of the world. We did an outside broadcast from there about 10 years ago, and I remember it fondly. Indeed, the whole town turned up as well, which was great. So congratulations to John Alcock there. You're listening to The Country Hour at 16 past 12.
On ABC Radio New South Wales, you're with Michael Condon for the New South Wales Country Hour.
And we're joined now to talk about all roads leading to the Royal Program. It's been going for a few years. It's an opportunity for schools to really get involved, and for the kids at those schools that might not get to the show to head out to the show, and all expenses paid by the Royal Agricultural Society as well. The Trundle School is at the show this year, and we're going to hear from Blair McDonald, who did a special radio package for us a short time ago, but we're also joined by teacher Heather Ernie, who's you've been trying to corral the kids for the last few days here at the show. They've been pretty excited about being here, I would imagine.
Oh, they've been exceptionally excited, but I'd say the better word for it is they've been inspired. The opportunities this program has presented to them is out of this world. Look, Trundle's a great place to grow up and live, but you need to get out and you need to see things. I remember the first night and I just had kids going, "Thank you, miss, thank you." But I really think a thank you needs to go to the kids. They've made me so proud, and especially to my ag captains who actually did this application and took ownership and made this happen for their peers.
Yeah, how does it happen? What do you have to do to get involved so other schools that might be listening can do it next year?
So the RAS youth group puts out an expressions of interest, and you complete a package, and we put a video together. If any other teachers are happy and want to have a go, I'm more than happy to share what our video was. And it's a really easy process. It seems like a lot, but if you've got great kids who can champion it, it's really easy as a teacher. Couldn't be prouder.
And for some of these kids, it might be their first trip to Sydney altogether.
Yeah, definitely first trip for a few of them to Sydney, but I think all of them first trip this Royal Easter Show, and they've just been amazed and just want to come back and get more involved in ag shows.
Mm. And so when they come, you say they've been inspired. What have they been inspired about? The opportunities for them in terms of careers, or maybe looking at things differently in terms of breeding and at their farm? What are they looking at that's inspired them?
So a lot of our ag students really inspired by careers and the networks they can make. I had a student yesterday sit in the wool auction. He's really keen to go into the industry, looking at wool broking and buying, so those opportunities. But a lot of the other kids, just things you can do to meet people and grow your confidence. So there's been so much confidence growth in our students.
Okay, terrific. And sounds like they're going to go from strength from here on in, and you know, the program hopefully has had a fair bit to do with that.
I definitely think the program has, and just the staff in Trundle and the community culture that will back them, and they'll be able to grow on from this experience.
Heather, appreciate your time on the program. Thanks for that. Thanks for joining us and explaining the process to us, and others can learn from it. And you're happy to share the video, so that's great.
Yeah, more than happy. And yeah, thank you guys for chatting with us and the opportunities for my students.
Well, talking about the students, because one of the students is Blair McDonald, who's actually the team captain for Trundle Ag. And he put together a pretty good package, actually, for the Country Hour.
My name's Blair McDonald, Trundle Ag Team Captain, and I've been asked to interview a few people around the Royal Easter Show. So I'm here with
Harrison O'Brien,
James O'Brien,
These boys are out from Tottenham Way, so they've travelled a fair ways to get here. And what are you doing here, boys?
So we're with CB Select Co, and we're feeding and looking after cattle. So that's pretty much just feeding, cleaning their stalls, and getting them ready for show and making them look all pretty when they go out.
How many times have you been here before, boys?
A few times when we were young fellas, but
it's our second official time.
Second official. So what have you experienced coming all the way to the Big Smoke compared to at home?
Traffic. It's different. It's just like, you'd never see a country road backed up like this. Buses, trucks, cars, absolutely everywhere. And just the sheer amount of people. It's like, I think in 5 minutes I see more people walking in the pavilions than what I do at a whole week at school. Like, it's actually ballistic.
Mm. You got anything to add to that?
Well, as soon as I got here, I felt my lungs collapse and the air quality decrease, so guess that's why they call it the Big Smoke.
So, what do you think of the grade of cattle that you see here today?
All very show prepared, and they've had plenty of feed pumped into them. Mind you, there's plenty of quality cattle. It's just a little bit of a different dynamic. Like, these are all show ready, all prepared, and then you go out towards actual farms and they might be a little bit lighter in condition, and they might just be working a little bit harder, but it's still a pretty good representation of what our way of life is, and I feel like it does the agricultural community a great justice.
How would you recommend, to another person from rural anywhere, no matter their background, whether in sheep, cattle, poultry, horses, what would you say to them about the Royal Easter Show?
I'd say it's a great experience. It's for anyone. Like, it tailors to absolutely everyone, whether you're an Aggie from down south or you just actually live in the Big Smoke and you want to go and see something different. Like, there's cattle, sheep, horses, goats, like, absolutely everything. And the food's pretty good too. Like, it's just a bloody good experience, you know? Like, it's just good social get-together, get to meet a heap of people, catch up with some old friends, and, yeah, I recommend it for anyone, really.
How old are you, Harrison?
I am 16 years old.
And James?
I'm 14.
Yeah, these fellas aren't very old. Young, upcoming Aggies. What have you seen at the show that would inspire you, James?
I've seen a lot of young, real young fellas in here getting in amongst the cattle and the sheep and everything. I'm very proud of them, seeing them getting up into the ag industry and helping out as much as they physically can. Also seeing a lot of city people enjoying trying to absorb and learn as much as they can about an industry they're not very familiar with up here in the city.
A bit inspiring to see people similar age to you.
Yeah, 100%, because I thought that there wouldn't be too many like-minded people until I come up here, and we're everywhere. It's like people our age really enjoy it.
You said you boys are helping out with the cattle. What's involved in showing the cattle, prepping the cattle, anything to do with the cattle here at Sydney?
Yeah, so first off, just getting them here safe, load them on a truck, whether it's loose or they're tied up. Then once they get here, feeding them, getting their beds prepared, keeping the straw out, shoveling any poo or stuff that they do, and just keeping it overall pretty tidy, because they do judge the beds as well and the best maintained. And then once it's show day, pump them full of feed and clean them up, wash them, put sprays and oils onto them just to make them all pretty. And even with the Charolais, use a special purple shampoo that makes them just glow white. And just handling them with care and being calm and making it an enjoyable experience for us and the cattle.
My name's Blair, the Trundle Ag Team captain, and here I'm with
Katie O'Brien from Pangie out past Tottenham.
Katie, what's your involvement in the show here this year?
Yep, so this year we're working with a cattle feeding team from Dalungra, and that's Select Cattle Company, and so I've brought my two boys along to get back in the cattle feeding game, and we have stud cattle ourselves, Santa Gertrudis. Our stud is Santalina, Santa Gertrudis, and Santa's will be a feature next year at Sydney Show, so we will be bringing a team, so it was really important for me to get our boys back out fitting and working with the cattle and getting the whole flow and rundown of the show, so we're prepared for next year.
So what has your past experience been with the Royal Easter Show?
I've been competing at Sydney Royal since I was six, so I'm a horsey girl at heart at first. So my first rider class was in 6 and under 9 at the old Moore Park Showground in 1986. And I even placed sixth in my riding class then. And then I've been competing with my stock horses. So I've been competing, I have my, as an Australian stock horse stud as well, so I've been competing my stallions and breeding progeny here at the show ever since. So on and off at Sydney Show since I was six. I'm now 46, so that's 40-odd years of competing here at Sydney, and I was even a state finalist in the Land Sydney Royal Showgirl competition in 2001.
How valuable would you say this experience is to your younger boys?
Oh, it's an extremely valuable experience for my boys, and for them to gain confidence within the industry and then to be future leaders in the industry. So my aim is that hopefully they will take on the stud and they'll be able to bring cattle back down to the show and keep this whole circle of ag industry alive and well, and for them to learn from those who have been doing it for such a long time, hence the Select Cattle Fitting Team. They're masters at what they do, and it's really important, and it's a big thing for them to take young folk on and to teach them how to do what they're doing. So confidence, responsibility, a total change of scenery for the boys, and get them out on a bigger stage. So Sydney Show ticks all the boxes, and it's a must for any future kids, you know, interested in ag.
Blair McDonald put together that package. He's from the Trundle School. He's the ag captain there. He was speaking to Harrison and James O'Brien and also to their mum, Kathy, at the end there. You're listening to The Country Hour. It's coming up to 26 minutes past 12.
My name's Vanessa. I'm at the Sydney Royal Easter Show and I listen to the New South Wales Country Hour.
And today is the day when the big prizes are announced in regards to the Merino section. We have, in fact, the hot news right off the press now. We've got this Supreme Merino exhibit breeder here now. Drew Chapman from West Plains started delegate. He's joined us now. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Country Hour. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
It's fantastic news. I mean, you've won this before with a pole ram. It's a pole ram again, so you've been there before, but it's fantastic to win.
Oh, yes. No, it never gets hard winning a big award. And to be judged by your peers as the ultimate prize winner of a major show like Sydney Royal is a great thrill.
It's huge. It's massive. Yes. Yeah, massive for you and for the stud. Yes, so congratulations.
Thank you.
Drew, describe the ram and what made him so special.
We call him Zodiac. He's been an exciting ram right from a hogget. We displayed him at the Australian Sheep and Wool Show in Bendigo as a baby. And breeders there sort of recognised he was something special. And he'll have lambs in Western Australia, South Australia, New South Wales and Victoria in the next month already. And actually, this is sort of basically, this showing is actually from a 90-year-old mum. She said, "Why won't you come back and show?" I'd sort of got involved in sheep breeders' politics and lots of other things, and we hadn't shown for 6 years. So we've come back. What sort of made him special is he's so physically correct. He's over 150 kilos. He's got a leg in each corner and an unbelievable fleece. He's 18.4 micron, SD a 2.4, CV a 14, and he's just very complete. And that's probably what got him up on the day, just his balance.
Mm. Yeah, they were saying that when you're showing, it's important to, you know, get the constitution right. Obviously, you're about that, but you're also about the measurement too. You're going for everything to try and, you know, as you say, get a complete animal.
Yeah, look, you know, breeding at top level stud genetics is art and science. There's the art of having the visualisation to what you're trying to create, and then having the knowledge base, what traits you need to concentrate in all your matings and joinings to get the ultimate product. And then the measurement is basically a confirmation of your sort of your breeding objectives.
Mm. Yeah.
And this sheep, there'll be a shearing, and then you'll be measuring the fleece weights as well as part of the judging that's still happening over the next coming days?
Yep, so tomorrow morning we've got him entered in the objective measurement class. So he's got a full range of measurements of micron, yield, staple strength, staple length. They'll do his body weight, eye muscle, and then they'll be shorn, so there'll be a fleece weight, and then the fleece is then valued on type, And out of that, we have an overall objective measurement class. And I like the fact that we'll shear him in public, so it'll all be third party what he actually has done in measured performance.
Because that's what you're paid on, your wool, and if you're a wool grower, it's about how heavy cutting they are.
Absolutely. Kilos are king. If you don't have kilos, you know, we're in a current climate in the wool. We're in a position at the moment, you know, where it's tight enough. On that, I'd be urging all growers, we've got a wool poll coming up. We need to get more investment into marketing in wool, so we need a 2% levy for AWI to do their work. And I want to get that in because it's a very important to us.
Yeah.
If we can't market our product, then it doesn't matter how well we breed them. Commercial growers have got to get a return on their investment.
And I guess the thing is, yeah, you it might be fine to be at the show here, but you need to look overseas, and marketing's a way to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're breeders that we breed for commercial reality.
Yep.
And everything we do at this level is the top level to get production into commercial flocks to make them profitable.
And you're saying 18 micron, so
yes.
and that's where your study sort of...
We're based sort of 17 to 19 micron. We're a very clean country. We get very high yields. We're 76, 78% yields, low VMs. So that's very important to us.
Yeah. And it sounds as though your breeding program is very much has been a more internalised program yourself from within your own stud for quite a while.
Yes, we do use judiciously outside genetics, but most of our outside genetics, as was this fellow, he's an embryo transfer bred, and our outside introductions are very targeted over just a few select ewes, and then we use the progeny of those back through the general flock.
Mm. Well, as I say, congratulations. It's Pol Merino and the Pol Merino are the feature exhibit as well this year. So I guess you have won with the Supreme exhibit in the past with the Pol Merino.
Yeah,
too. How long ago was that?
That was 2015, and that was the first time in history of Sydney Royal that a Pol had ever won Supreme.
Oh, so this is only the second.
So this is only the second,
right.
And we're lucky enough to be the breeders of both of them, which is a big thrill for us. And that ram is benefit to us. He put my three girls through university, so he's got a very special place in our family.
There aren't too many sheep that can say that. Now the other thing I wanted to ask, what's going to happen to him now? You're going to keep him? You're going to sell him? Often people sell them.
No, we will keep him. We've sold a lot of semen already, and we've had a lot of other inquiries. And this win won't, you know, will help with that. So we intend to take him home and work him and have semen available for industry.
Terrific, and look, I'll let you get back to it. No doubt you've got some media commitments and things like that, as well as talking to the country out, but we appreciate you coming and having a chat to us.
Thanks very much.
Drew Chapman there, who's from West Plains, stud at Delegate,
thank
just
you.
Won the Supreme Merino exhibit with Zodiac. It's coming up to 27 minutes to one.
On ABC Radio New South Wales, you're with Michael Condon for the New South Wales Country Hour.
And it's time to get some news headlines now from Adam Story. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Michael. The State Coroner has handed down the final report into the Black Summer bushfires, with 28 recommendations being made. It looked into the fires which caused the deaths of 25 people. Now, the recommendations have been made to the Rural Fire Service, the police and the energy provider Essential Energy. They include better safety measures for fire trucks, improved training and communication for crews that are organising air tankers, and more robust information, including weather forecasts, particularly for water bomber crews that are heading to a fire ground. Now, the coroner has also recommended better training for staff to communicate early warnings to communities that have limited access to reliable communication systems. The latest inflation data is in, and it's remained steady at 3.4% for the month of February. The most significant price rises were housing, food, non-alcoholic beverages, alcohol and tobacco, but as well as insurance and financial services. The federal government has failed to rush through its new immigration laws through Parliament, with the Senate delaying a vote on the bill until May. The Coalition yesterday voted in favour of the bill in the lower house, but it decided today it wouldn't support the urgency motion in the Senate, and the bill will now be scrutinised by a committee. All six workers who were missing following the bridge collapse last night in the US in the city of Baltimore, are now presumed dead. Comes after the bridge collapsed after a container ship which had lost power and crashed into it. The construction workers had been fixing potholes on the bridge when it struck, but luckily when the ship lost power, it did manage to get a message to the Coast Guard or to the port, and they did manage to close the bridge to traffic before it hit. So the authorities there are saying the situation could have been a lot worse. And the brother of Julian Assange says the Prime Minister must urge Britain and the US to finally free the WikiLeaks founder. It comes after the UK High Court ruled overnight that Washington must first assure that he has freedom of speech protections and won't face the death penalty before they allow his extradition to the United States. And that is what... What day is it? Wednesday is looking like.
plenty happening in the news by the sound of things, Adam. I'll let you get back to it.
And what part of the show are you at today?
Well, we're actually just outside of the
sheep. Is that a plane flying over?
No, well, I don't know. What that is? I think it's some sort of monster truck or something.
Oh, okay. Oh, the monster trucks.
One of your
favourites. The second best event to the wood shop.
That's right, exactly. There you go. Quite right, yes. All right, thanks for that, Adam.
All right.
Adam will be back at 1 o'clock. Let's find out what's happening with the weather. Gabriel Woodhouse at the Bureau. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Michael.
So we're hearing that there will be some rain, and there could be quite a bit of rain in some parts of the state, but not everywhere.
No, not everywhere. So since we spoke yesterday, we've seen a number of showers up over the far northeast of the state, where some of the higher falls have been of the order of about 60 to 70 millimetres. Those showers have weakened off since yesterday, but what we're looking at in terms of the forecast over the long weekend is for a trough to start to develop over central parts of Australia. Still a little bit of uncertainty about exactly where it's going to be, but at this stage it looks as though the very far western parts of New South Wales, so out towards Chipperboro, Broken Hill, and maybe even towards Menindee, is where we're looking at the focus of rainfall being, particularly on Sunday. But as we see that system start to shift a bit further east during the first part of next week, that's when it's looking more likely that we could see some rainfall come through to most areas across New South Wales. So still a bit of uncertainty in the forecast, but the main watch period, I guess, is going to be during the first part of next week when we see some showers extend right across the state.
So you think across the state, but it's hard to know what sort of millimetres, or like 5 to 10 everywhere and maybe a lot more in some parts?
Yeah, pretty much. So there's the bit of the forecast that's a bit complicating is the thunderstorm aspect. So at this stage, it's probably more likely that we'll see widespread falls of the order of about, you know, a couple of millimetres up to about 10 or 15 millimetres across the western slopes and parts of the ranges, more so on Tuesday and maybe into Wednesday next week. But we could end up seeing some of those falls being a little bit higher than that if we do end up seeing some thunderstorms eventuate. So there's a bit of uncertainty in terms of the rainfall forecast for overall numbers, but it's looking a little bit more likely that we will actually see some of those showers extend right across New South Wales, which is welcome news, I guess.
Yeah, for some of those parts that are drought affected, they want a bit of rain. It's a possibility if we do get those thunderstorms and heavy rain, we might see some flooding, but that's hard to predict.
It is really hard to predict, but at the moment, the main risk in terms of flooding is going to be from localised flash flooding if we do see those storms eventuate. At this stage, that is more likely to be the case out near the South Australian border during the weekend when we're a little bit more likely to see some of those storms. In terms of widespread rainfall to result in riverine flooding, that's looking a little bit less likely. In saying that, though, we are still seeing the river levels out in the far northwest of the state remaining a little bit on the higher side. So there is the minor flood warning for the Paroo River at Woollahra Crossing. So that is back out again, unfortunately.
All right, Gabrielle, thanks for that.
My pleasure.
It's coming up to 22 minutes to one.
On ABC Radio New South Wales, this is the New South Wales Country Hour.
And we're joined now by one of the Rural Achievers, a winner, in fact, of the Rural Achievers event, which is one of the signature events here at the Sydney Royal Easter Show. And Grace Collins is the winner. We spoke to a few of your colleagues on the program a couple of days ago. Congratulations. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So ag education, that's really your bag.
Yes, yes. I started, my first interest in ag started when I chose it as a subject in year 9 at school. And yeah, I just fell in love with it. And when I graduated, I knew this is exactly what I wanted to do. So I'm just about to finish a Bachelor of Agriculture at UNE, and then I'll complete a Master of Teaching starting in 2025.
Right, okay. And what's the plan after that?
Teaching ag in high schools.
Right.
Yeah, really passionate about that.
But Grace, you've already connected with two schools that you're working with around ag education.
Yes, so I'm currently doing 3 days a week at Gyra Central School, which I love my job there. I'm the farm assistant. I get to work with all types of animals and kids as well, showing them drenching sheep, clipping cattle, just everything. And the other 2 days I work at Armidale Secondary College, and there I do a little bit of learning support, but I also support Mr. Mark Fisher, the ag teacher, and go on excursions as the female staff member with students, which is really rewarding.
Now, the other thing too we're hearing also from the universities is there's really been an uptick. I was talking to Professor Guy Roth from Sydney University. He's saying they've now got the dedicated ag science degree back again, because there is this interest now, and they
yes.
want people to get involved in farming and get those qualifications, and it's a real push there.
Yes, yeah, there is a huge push for that, and there's actually a lot of scholarships and support available for students who are really looking to pursue a career in that, and yeah, it is in very big demand.
Mm. And Grace, now that you, what about winning this award, the Rural Achiever Award, what does it mean to you?
I was not expecting it at all, and I'm really honoured to have been presented with this award last night. I'm really just excited to represent New South Wales at the national finals. The other 7 finalists are equally as deserving, and I can't wait. We're going to go to so many community events together, so many ag shows. I've been invited by the Young Show president, Emma Godsall, to open the show in late September. So I'm really excited about that, and I can't wait for us all to make the most of opportunities in the community together.
And do you think you'll stay in regional New South Wales and teach, or what's the plan?
Yes, I actually grew up in Sydney and then moved to Armidale, and I guess that was a real eye-opener in the fact that I see the need for education around ag in cities. Like, it is so important. So yeah, I'm a little bit torn at the moment, and I'm hoping that I can work out a way to sort of achieve both in the next few years. Got plenty of time left to do that, but yeah, there is a real need for that connection between city and rural areas for educating people on where their food and fibre comes from.
Well, and with talk about issues with farming and food security, but also with climate change and those things, there's pressure there. Food security, food production. I mean, that I guess is why the agriculture is sort of leading the way there.
Yes. Yes, definitely. And it's really exciting to learn about those in tertiary education studies. I really enjoyed doing that, doing subjects relating to biosecurity and animal welfare at uni.
Congratulations again, and all the best for the future.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're listening to The Country Hour. It's coming up to 17 minutes to 1.
Hello, I'm Rachel Mealy. Join me for The World Today. A city in shock after Baltimore's iconic Francis Scott Key Bridge collapses in seconds. Engineers ask why the bridge didn't have more protection in a busy working harbour. And Julian Assange in limbo again. His supporters are calling on the Australian government to campaign for the WikiLeaks founder's release. Join me for The World Today at lunchtime.
And The Country Hour is here at the Sydney Royal Easter Show. Again, Josh Becker and, a few more people here now. It was pretty quiet earlier, but we've just been watching the working dog with the sheep. We'll be talking to Murray Wilkinson about that in a sec, because working dogs are going off.
Absolutely. Muster dogs has absolutely led the way there, and people are really interested in finding out the value of working dogs and seeing them in action here today at the show.
And a big crowd for that as well earlier on. But right now, let's talk about something a little bit different, pig auctions. Now, I wasn't really aware that there were pig auctions at the show. We're joined by Linton Batt and also Eli Bailey have joined us now about to talk about the pig auction. So this has been a feature at the show, Linton Batt, for a long time?
Well, Michael, no, this is an innovation. We have not had a pig auction here for about 15 years, and it was 10 years before that, so troubled history. But we created an entire event around the pig auction called Pigs and Pinot to connect people, and what a success.
We were invited to that. We couldn't go, so we missed out, I reckon.
We missed out on the Pinot, but it sounds like it was also a great networking opportunity and a chance to showcase the genetics. The pigs as well, the entries this year are significantly up.
Pig numbers are up, the number of exhibitors are up, the schools competition is back, and their numbers were much bigger than we anticipated. And we had Baconomics, a study of the pork industry for school students, and that's going to be continued. It was brilliant.
And the industry itself, though, the pig industry was in a bit of a decline. Is it coming out now?
Things are good. The pork industry is in good shape. We're always looking for a little bit more money, but there are some happy producers out there at the moment and plenty of happy consumers too.
And Eli Bailey talking about genetics and the stud as well. You're involved in the Dewsbury stud, I can see there. We hear a lot that, you know, that, in terms of the pork industry, it's sort of very generic. You know, that one particular breed is favoured. Is that changing now? Because the consumer seems to be having a say about that.
Yeah, look, that's right. I think, you know, these days it's really bringing to the forefront the importance of eating quality. You hear a lot about it in sheep and cattle, but less these days in pork. But within the last 10 years, you know, with a lot of support from chefs, local producers, stud breeders like ourselves, and, you know, these sort of events, it brings everyone together. It brings restaurateurs there. It brings all the producers together. It brings, you know, butchers, your end consumer. And I think it's a really good way at the Sydney Show to sort of showcase that product and make people realise that there is more to pork and there is more, you know, within the pork industry, and there's opportunities for everyone. So, yeah, I think it's really important.
How's that translating in the auction last night? Is there more interest in genetics? People are looking to drive forward their production on that front?
Yeah, look, they definitely are. Coming into the auction, we didn't know how it was going to go. It's, you know, it's always a bit of a gamble when you do something that hasn't been done in a while. But, you know, look, Elders were fantastic. Auctions Plus were absolutely phenomenal. It really just all came together. We had a huge selection of people there. There was a lot of support from the RAS. They were very enthusiastic about it. And the end result was, you know, we really don't think as producers that the auction could have gone any better. So, no, we're all very pleased.
And there's also been talk about, you know, better eating quality. You know, we want better bacon. We want it to, you know, we want to have different breeds. Some of the old English breeds, some of those heritage breeds coming back in because of the taste and the flavour. Is that what we're seeing? Is that what we're hearing from people at the auctions?
Yes, yeah, and consumer-driven. They're having a really good eating experience, but what the RAS has started here is incredible. We had an international judge who's never seen it before. We scan the pigs for traits such as eye muscle area and marbling scores, and that's a good predictor of the eating quality. So we're breeding the best pork out of the best breeding stock, but we're using some new technology to apply that. So the buyers had access to some real figures. We're following some of the cattle and sheep industry leads there. So the people bidding know exactly what they're getting and what they can predict from the progeny of those pigs. It's great technology. It was pioneered at the Sydney Royal Easter Show, and it's working.
But, I mean, some of the thing is that you might have the most productive pig, but it might not taste the best, and you'll have something, you know, that produces less, but a different, better eating quality, things like that.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's a hard one to balance. Being stud breeders, we're trying to produce the best stock, and when you've got these characteristics in something like a boar and that's going to another farm, you're going to improve the overall quality of you know, your final product that gets to the consumer. So I think, you know, that's what the end sort of, you know, that's what we're looking for producers and for the consumers as well. And I think we're well on the way to achieving
that. It's a balancing act between production and the consumer, and
that's right. And I mean, it's not to say that you can't have both. You certainly can, but you know, on average, you've got to sort of balance those things out. And the main focus at a lot of the breeders here is having that eating quality, and we are really seeing those results. So,
and moving that direction. Linton and Eli, appreciate your time on the Country Hour today.
Thanks very much.
You're listening to the Country Hour. We're broadcasting from the Sydney Royal Easter Show. It's 11 to 1.
On ABC Radio New South Wales, this is the New South Wales Country Hour.
Now, we were talking about this earlier, Josh, about how working dogs and mustard dogs are really taking off. And one of the exhibits here that, it's a practical exhibit, isn't it, really? Murray Wilkinson's joined us now. He's been out here with the dogs every day, and big crowds, really interested, really keen, looking at the mustard dogs, looking at working dogs, what they do.
Yeah, definitely. We're getting plenty of crowds come along. They're quite interested in seeing the working dogs in action. We're just showing them a little bit of our normal rural lifestyle, what we do every day out on the farm. They're quite keen to see it and actually get to come in and ask a few questions. You know, a lot of people want a little training tip or anything like that. You know, come in to meet the dogs or just get up close and personal to the sheep. It's great to see.
Mm. And Murray, you're from Cooler. Can you paint a picture of your farm and how many dogs are you using at the moment?
So the farm up there is a place called Tungi Station. So it's owned by the Baillieu family. And it's about 18,500 acres, and there's 16,500 sheep and 3,000 head of cattle on there. So it's a...
That'll keep you busy?
Yeah, definitely. We're flat biscuit all the time. And I'm running about 20 dogs at home. Them dogs do help out quite a lot, you know, the amount of work that they can get through. And pretty well, it's a great, you know, labour cost saver, really, like how much they can actually help us get done.
Well, you were saying you reckon that a good dog is worth three men.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And for sheep and cattle as well.
For sheep and cattle, like, you could probably, one dog would nearly be able to handle like 1,000 sheep by itself. They're able to get across so much country, you know. Like I say during my show, they can run anywhere up to 70 k's a day, so just like a marathon runner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And every day.
A bit more than my 10,000 steps. It's been great to watch the interest, but there is a renewed interest. People in, you know, peri-urban areas looking at getting working dogs as well. Are you seeing that interest in the industry?
Yeah, I do find that the dog sector's kind of boomed a bit over the last few years, and there has been a lot more interest come through, and probably credit to the team that's doing the mustard dogs deal that has brought light to how much actual dogs do mean to us on the land and what they can do for us.
And you're happy with the way the program's presented? You don't sort of, I mean, I know with some TV programs, people that are in the industry go, oh, that's a load of rubbish.
Oh, look, there's some things there that are a bit different, but I actually would love to see that program probably more detailed, and I think they would still get the audience. You know, it's only sort of run over a four-show stint. For each Mustard Dog series. Mm. I'd love to see it where there's like a monthly update or something like that, and then 3 months we get together for that 12-month period, and we can just to show people the details of actually how to get those dogs trained to that level, because they get to see where the milestones are that they have as such, but they don't actually get to see how to get them to their milestones.
Yeah, right. So a bit more about the training behind the scenes, and in depth.
Yeah, view into how we get them going.
The other thing, just quickly, ducks. You were showing how to herd the ducks as well here. What's the rationale behind that?
So I use the ducks as a training tool at home. Just sometimes if we don't have sheep availability, you know, the ducks are a great tool for us to use. And, you know, they're pretty quiet. And also it allows us to be able to get over the top of the ducks to influence what the dog's doing. How we can get the dog to move around and whatnot, you know. So, and it's probably a good thing for a training tool for if you're an old person as well, because if a dog come in a little bit solid on your sheep and they knocked them into
you, I was going to say
could knock you over. Whereas, you know, if a duck runs into you, it's getting hit by a feather, really, aren't you?
That's right. Yeah, look, appreciate your time, and I know you've got to get back to it. Murray Wilkinson, thanks for your time on the program today.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me.
It's 7 minutes to one. To markets, casino's been cancelled, so to Carcor Sheep and Lambs.
Numbers fell by 1,400 for yarding of 3,100 lambs. The yarding was mixed, however, overall quality improved with good numbers of heavy lambs available, along with a regular supply of trade weights. Not all the regular buyers were operating. Two-score processing lambs to 18 kilos were slightly cheaper, selling from 36 to 90. Trade lambs 20 to 24 kilos were firm, 124 to 146. Heavyweight lambs over 24 kilos were up to $15 a euro with the improved quality. They sold from 156 to 213. Light lambs to the restockers sold between 30 and 131. Hoggets were firm at 50 to 110. There was 1,500 mixed quality mutton yard, where most sheep were $8 cheaper. Merino ewes sold from 20 to 72. Crossbred ewes 26 to 106. Merino wethers sold to 86, and rams reached $20. This has been Angus Williams for MLA at CTLX.
Let's go to Cowra Sheep and Lambs now. I'm Rob Pearce. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Michael. There were 2,900 lambs, up 1,700. Quality improved with some well-finished trade and heavyweights, along with some secondary lines throughout, and they were mainly trade and heavies end. Medium heavy trades were firm to a couple of dearer, 22 kilos, 126 to 132, 22 to 24, 135 to 145, averaging 600 cents. Heavyweights were 5 to 6 dearer, 24 to 26, 155 to 169, 26 to 30, 180 to 195, 30 plus 207 to a top of 215, averaging 630 to 655 cents. And mutton numbers fell by 800 for 570. Quality is good, prices lifted 3 to 7. Heavy first cross use sold from 76 to 110, averaging 290 to 305. This has been Rob Pearce from MLA at Cowra.
Thanks, Rob. Let's go to Yash Sheep and Lambs. Graham Richard.
Good afternoon. Lamb numbers eased to 2,900 with the Easter break looming. The quality was mixed, containing some very good trade weights along with a mixed offering of lighter weight lambs. Most categories sold to dearer trends. Two-score processing lambs were $8 dearer, 67 to 105. Light trades were fully firm, 96 to 129 to average 610 cents. The trades gained 9 to 10 with 20 to 22 kilos, 125 to 140, 22 to 24, 137 to 145, and they averaged around 600 to 630. The heavyweights, 151 to 180, with most 630 to 660. Heavy hoggets were limited and lifted 10, 88 to 115. Mutton numbers eased to 2,300. The quality was good. Medium weights were best supplied and lifted 10 to $15. Heavyweights were in very short supply and lifted 6 to 10. Crossbred wethers sold to $120 and merino ewes reached 96. And this has been Graham Richard.
Thanks, Graham. Let's go to Mossvale Cattle now. David Kent.
Good afternoon, Michael. With the Easter weekend approaching, resulted in the yarding of only 176 plainer quality cattle, except for some prime vealers and yearlings to suit the trade. Prime vealers reached 362 cents, yearlings to process 280 to 364. The limited supply of feeder steers ranged from 270 to 340. Weaner steers up to 280 kilos returning to the paddock topped at 369 cents, and the heifer portion 246 to 270. Bullocks weighing 850 sold for 235 cents, and heavy grain heifers reached 260. Cows and calves topped at $1,780 per unit. This is David Kent at Mossvale for MLA.
And no Singleton market today either. And as I was just saying before, the casino cattle market was cancelled as well. You're listening to the Country Hour. Josh Becker, so the southeast has shined in terms of the merino prizes.
They have today. We've heard from Drew Chapman from Delegate, the winner of the Supreme Merino exhibit. And we've also heard from John Alcock from Bungabi near Midabel. Was winner of the Stonehaven Cup, one of the most prestigious awards for the best five merinos on display. So, yep, the southeast punching above its weight at the Sydney Royal Easter Show.
And Drew Chapman was a pretty happy man about Zodiac, the ram that people have had their eye on for some time. He saw a lot of semen. There's going to be lots of Zodiacs around WA, South Australia, New South Wales by the sound of things already. So it's amazing.
And amazing to hear that Iran could put a few kids through university as well.
That's
so
right.
Very valuable.
Yeah, exactly, quite right. And tomorrow, putting the focus on food and the exhibits.
That's right. We'll be at the Fresh Food Dome, so we'll be putting the focus on all the fresh produce that comes to the Royal Easter Show as part of those district exhibits, that they're iconic. And so it'll be wonderful to be focusing on that tomorrow. On
we
the
might
show.
Even try and get one of the chefs over and cook us up a bit of a storm as well. Maybe get some pork on the fork as well, because that was the other thing we were talking about here today as well.
Absolutely. So that'll be wonderful to put a spotlight on the fresh produce tomorrow on the Country Hour.
On the Country Hour, indeed, here broadcasting again from the Sydney Royal Easter Show. It's heading up to news time and 1 o'clock. Let's go.